Podcasting 2.0 for September 20th, 2024, episode 194. It's a Freak Off Friday. Hello, everybody. It is Friday once again, and boy, we are in a good mood because Fridays are always good days. It is time for the one and only board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, ITBR. Everybody's in the boardroom. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that will never send a message to your pager. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who climbs big rocks. He drinks his beef and delights audiences all over the world. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
Man, the beef milkshake today is just not, it's just not happening.
It's not, you're not feeling it?
It's not, there's no beef in it. That's the problem.
What do you just have, chocolate powder or what? That doesn't sound right.
No, it's like, so I got this new, I got a new flavor. I like branched out away from the chocolate and went with the vanilla.
Yeah.
And it's just, no, it is not good.
Vanilla beef just doesn't sound good to me.
Vanilla, no, it's so not good.
Vanilla, man. Beef.
Oh, it, man, is not good. And so I've like, I'm just trying to like, I tried to force it and it wasn't happening. So now I'm just have whey protein and then I tried to put like something in there to spice it up. Cause the milk I use for it is this, like low sugar, you know, milk that's, yeah, been, and so it's like a high protein milk.
Yeah.
And so I go with the high protein milk, creatine, and just
creatine. You got creatine.
I got creatines in my shake. And then I got some whey protein isolate in there. And like none of that has any flavor whatsoever because you've even taken the sugar out of the milk.
Yeah.
So it just tastes like drinking chalk. And
here's an idea. Like, okay. You know what you could do to spice it up? A little bit of bourbon. Just for the board meeting.
Yeah.
You know, just for the board meeting.
Just a nip. Just a little
just,
nip.
Just a little nip, baby. It's no problem.
A nip from the pocket flask. Yep. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, man.
So I put a yogurt in there with it and blended that up. And that's not what I thought it was going to be.
No, I understand.
It's even worse. Ugh. Now I'm just like forcing it down.
Oh, nasty. So what you got on your list, brother? We only have an hour and a half today because you said, I got a hard out. You know, I can't stay in the board meeting too long. Got a hard out. It's in summer hours are over. It's done. It's gone. It's toast.
It's done. Let's see. What do I have?
Well, maybe I can ask you a question just because I didn't understand
flip
it.
Flip to my notes. Okay.
Yeah. Flip to your notes. What is the conversation about podcast images and why don't I understand it?
That is in my notes.
Oh, good.
It's in my notes right under making a podcast with Google Notebook LLM LM via CSB.
Yeah, which is also fun. Yes.
Yep. So that's, well, I've got, which one, what do you want to do? You want to talk about images?
But whatever you want. It's up to you.
What is your understanding of image, of the image thing? Because this is namespace talk, by the way.
And now it's time for some hot namespace.
That's right.
Talk.
We're sizzling up your Friday right off the bat. We're not waiting. We're not teasing you with the hot namespace talk. We give it to you right away.
5 minutes in, we're already in the namespace
That's right.
talk. This is a record.
Baby, hot namespace talk. Well, it's funny.
Okay,
it's
fun. You're selling it now.
Well, because I saw, you know, I saw a post and then I saw Stephen B. come back and say, well, I do single, not multiple. And then I'm like, I recognize this because if I go to Sovereign Feeds, there is a tab for images and you can add images. And I've never, for the episode, for the podcast, and so I'm like, well, maybe it has something to do with that I can add extra images. And then I was like, you know what? I'm lazy. I'm just going to ask Dave.
Thanks. First of all, I need to kill the, oh gosh, I've got like 200 tabs open in this browser. This is going to crash my computer. if okay. I don't take care of this right now. So I got to get,
I'll get the jingle ready for you.
For the boot. Okay.
Yeah.
No, this is not, yeah. No, I successfully closed every tab except clean feed.
Now, is this Linux that crashes with so many tabs open?
Yeah. Yeah, because
well, that sounds wrong. It doesn't sound right.
Ubuntu with a Lightning node running, you know, in 27 containers is, I mean, it's not the most stable thing in the world. So,
okay.
You know, okay. I mean, the whole computer doesn't crash. It's more like the Windows crash, the window manager. But,
oh, because that's totally okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine. It's just like it's like your Roadcaster having to reboot it. It's fine.
It's all Linux, baby. It's the drivers. It's always the drivers.
It's Linux all the way down. Well, okay, so we've got the long and short of it is we have competing proposals. We have a fight brewing.
Uh-oh. A nerd fight. Namespace fight. Nerd fight. Nerd fight. Nerd fight.
No, it's kind of competing proposals, but not really. Like, I think it's, so here's what's going on. We want to add, many people want to add banners, some sort of idea of a banner image.
That can be used for other, for things.
Things. So, you know, like one good example is social media. Social media needs, they like
banners.
They like you to have, you used to, it was just like you had your avatar.
Right.
You know, you put it on a Gravatar or whatever that thing was.
Ooh, yes. Gravatar.
You remember Gravatar?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I think it's still around.
Sure,
right?
I'm sure Gravatar it is. I'm sure it is. Yeah.
And so you just have an avatar for various things in your social graph.
I just threw up in my mouth. Yes, my social
mission
graph.
Accomplished.
Yeah. Well done. Well done. Well played, sir.
Now you, like, I'm not sure which one was the first to do this, which social context this was. Well, it may have been Facebook. I think Facebook has always had this idea of adding in this extra thing that's a banner. Mm. And so it like goes sort of like across the top. So you have your avatar and it's laying over this sort of like fancy banner looking thing, which would be sort of like, I don't know, like a three, like aspect ratio, 3:1, 4:1 type thing.
Yeah.
Where it's pretty, you know, it's long, sort of long and skinny-ish.
What happened to the skyscraper? Remember that?
Skyscraper?
Yeah. The skyscraper was a banner, a vertical banner on the side. It was sold to some inventory. Oh, we've got a skyscraper on the side. Don't you remember those?
No. Yeah. I don't
basically
remember that term.
A banner ad turned, rotated 90 degrees.
Oh, okay. I remember the masthead, you know, image or whatever, but not, I don't know about the skyscraper. So you've got this idea that we want to put into the feed. And this would help with all kinds of things like pod page.
Yeah. For sharing, you know, stuff is what we kind of, what we were talking about is sending extra stuff along with your feed that can be used in, to fill up your MySpace page.
Yeah. Yeah. Your MySpace, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, okay. So you can take this farther and it has been proposed in the past. In the issues, like two, maybe even 3 years ago, it was proposed that there, like, that you could, we could implement like an entire like style guide or whatever inside the feed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like, okay, this podcast has this color palette that it always uses for its, you know,
right,
for style, and so you could put that information in there. Well, you know, then you start to get pretty dicey because then the app developers are like, you know,
yeah, what are you doing to my art, man?
Yeah. Hey, screw you. I'm not going to like let you style my app.
That's not going to happen. No.
Yeah. And then there's the knee jerk of that, but there's also the, just the realistic difficulties of, okay, my app needs to now calculate like contrasting colors so it knows what text to overlay on top of this other thing.
Right.
It's a big mess. I mean, it would be great. This is one of those things that the concept is really good. And you're like, oh yeah, that would be great. And then like the actual putting into production becomes this sort of nightmare of edge cases and difficulties. For an example of this, see the difficulties that Apple had on macOS trying to get the menu bar at the top to bleed through color
and be consistent.
And still be readable and all stuff. Even they couldn't do it right. And they got the best designers ever. So it's a big mess. But that's a side that's a side tangent. So the matter at hand is the banner stuff. And you can say, okay, how could you solve that problem? And in asking that question, there's been sort of two ideas proposed, one by Nathan Gathright, one by Russell from Pod 2. And so Russell has actually already put this stuff into, that Pod 2 is a podcast hosting company.
Yes.
He's already put this into their feeds and he just created a new tag.
He's the Sam Sethi of hosting companies, apparently.
Yes, exactly. So he created a new tag called podcast:banner. Banners. And then in there, he's got a tag this is a parent node for a podcast banner tag that defines a source. So, a URL to an image.
Right.
A mime type.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it can be video. It could be a video banner.
Video. And an aspect ratio.
Okay. By the way, so far I'm on board with the idea.
And if it's a video, it also has a length attribute.
Right.
Now this is fine. I don't really have a problem with this. I like sort of semantically pleasing tags like this.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be semantically pleasing in our lives, and this fits that.
Man, if I could be semantically pleasing to my wife, I'd have it made.
Good luck. If you figure out how, shoot me a text.
Yeah.
Because I'll need that in my own life as well. Yes.
I'll do a blast on the social.
A blast. Yeah, put us on blast.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not only defined the tag, he's doing it. I mean, he's running with some humongous scissors. So you have that. Then you have a competing proposal which uses which just modifies the existing images tag. This is the one that James Cridlin gets heartburn from.
Mm. Because no one uses it and he wants it out.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So podcast:images has been in the spec
forever,
for a long time.
Yeah.
And PodLP app already uses it. Currently it's defined this way. So
in your definition, can you give the example of how PodLP uses it? Because I currently have in our feed, I have, let me just make sure I'm saying it right. We have episode image URL and podcast image URL.
You don't have a tag in our feed called podcast:images?
Hold on. Let me see.
Sir Spencer says he uses podcast images. Okay. Let me
see. Images.
You hand code your feed though, Sir Spencer, right?
We do not have that.
Okay.
No. But I think I'm looking at Sovereign Feeds, and I think Sovereign Feeds is just set up to do it because it also says, default image URL synced with podcast metadata, which, okay, I'm not sure what that means.
Mm.
But, okay.
Yeah, I don't know either.
No. All right.
I have a standing rule to never look at Sir Spencer's images on anything. That's just
right. No, absolutely. Yeah,
you don't have to tell me that, Chad.
Bad idea.
So the podcast images tag was based on the HTML5 source set syntax.
Mm-hmm.
SRC SET. That's an attribute that's in the HTML5 image tag where you can say, you can define a source set and say, and then you can have multiple images defined in the same attribute. So instead of just a source, you can have a source set, and that source set is an array delimited by commas where each member of the array is a URL and a space, and then the horizontal width of the image in pixels.
Okay. And that's what Stephen Bell was talking about. His stuff wouldn't take an array, I guess, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
And so the one thing that has been misunderstood, and James, this is a misunderstanding that James has, is looking at that source set and saying, okay, then it can only, I've heard him say this multiple times, that it means that the images have to be square, because right. You're saying this image is a 1500 by 1500. This image is 600 by 600. Hmm. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
The source set defines the URL and the width. It doesn't define the height in the source set.
Yes, I see that.
So it can be, they don't have to be square images. That's a misunderstanding. So the currently the images tag is based on that terminology, sort of standard mm-hmm. within HTML5. And that standard is in use in browsers. I mean, it's a supported thing. So the idea was we can just take this. You know, this would be an easy pickup for people who already understands, you know, HTML5, modern HTML. And so then Nathan's proposal to get the banner stuff in there is to extend the images tag to have, it's not a breaking change, but it would be more consistent with existing podcast image tags, and also have this other stuff in it that could accommodate what Russell wants, or what we all want with banners. So his proposal is, first of all, you make it where you can have multiple tags, either in a channel or an item.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause currently it's only single.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems fine to me. Then you have a source attribute, just like a standard image tag. You also have the source set that you can use. The source, the way he describes it, is a fallback media URL if multiple sizes are not available, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have a type. So it'd be a MIME type, which is, you know,
logical,
good, is what you
logical.
Want. Logical. Yeah. And then you have the aspect ratio. And his aspect ratio is the syntax of the aspect ratio he's using is what CSS uses. Eric PP, is because you can provide multiple images in the same tag. That's why it's called images and not image. So the aspect ratio is defined like with a slash. So, you know, like 16:9 would be 16:9, because that's how CSS does it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, again, this would make this an easy pickup mentally for people who are already used to web development.
Right.
And so that solves the same problem just by extending a different tag, instead of creating a new one. Now, my clear preference here is for podcast images to be extended.
Yes, I mean, I can see why, of course.
And rather than creating a new tag called banner.
Right. Yeah, because there can be all kinds of images. You know, it might be a funny way, images promo video. I mean, it's kind of a whacked out way of describing an image, which isn't an image, it's a video, but I guess you could use that, right?
Yeah. My dog's howling at a tree. They just
that was your dog? I thought it was my dog. Oh, it's your dog.
No, it's mine.
Okay.
I think a fire truck went by and he started howling. yeah, there's one, but I'm going to play devil's advocate against myself here, though. There's one, you know, Russell is attracted to the semantics of having a tag called podcast banner. And I understand why. It's because, you know, if you think like a machine, then if you have a tag that just says podcast images, and it has and one of the images defined in there has an aspect ratio of 1:1. One of them has an aspect ratio of 16:9, and another one has an aspect ratio of 3:1. Nothing about the presence of any of that tells you whether one of those is intended to be a banner image.
Right.
I mean, you could be grabbing an image and like, you know, right. Oh yeah, anything that's 3:1 or 4:1 or.
Well, perhaps the description is wrong. I mean, a banner is a description and an aspect ratio. You know what I mean? Whereas I might have an image that I determined to be a social media share image or an image that I intend to, you know, I want this at the top of something. So therefore it's a banner. You know what I mean? Is it that the descriptor is wrong?
Yeah. Like some banners could be like not like blue. So the ones I know of, you know, Facebook, Twitter has a banner idea. Mastodon has a banner idea. Blue Sky. I mean, a lot of these social media things. And I'm sure immediately there would be use amongst things like Podpage and hosting company websites. Maybe even sites like Plink and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't clearly say this is what this thing is supposed to be, if you just randomly take the first, you know, this one's a 3:1 because Blue Sky stuff is maybe 3.5:1.
Right.
And Facebook's is 4:1. And it's like, well, what you really want is a tag that says, look, I'm a banner. That's what I'm supposed to be, you know. Now, the reason it works with images, with album art, the reason album art doesn't have to say, hey, I'm album art, is because historically within podcasting, if you find an image in there, it's album art.
Right.
Because there was only ever that use case initially. And in that use case lasted so long that it's just, that's just the way it works. But now we have something, the ability to do something new. And now that we're introducing something new, you can just dump a whole bunch of stuff into a feed and have no idea how to actually use it.
Right.
So, I mean, my, here's where I'm at right now, and tell me what you think about this. I think these changes to the images tag are good enough on their own to justify adopting the changes. Regardless, take the banner idea out of it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Just having these changes is fine because it doesn't really break anything.
I think that's the main point. Not breaking anything or unnecessarily adding a new tag when we could shoehorn it into an existing one.
Right. Right. And so I think that stands on its own as a way to do this. The banner thing is harder because I mean, I like the idea, but I think it just needs, I think it needs some more discussion about whether or not the banner, there might just be a different way to do it. So let me see what I'm trying to say here. So instead of defining the banner and it ending up just being a different version, like it looks exactly like images, except it just has a different name.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the images tag can also have an ID, and then you have a tag that says banner, and it just tells you which image is the banner.
Yeah.
So banner, and then an attribute that says,
MIME type, URL aspect ratio.
No. So you have a, you have a, each images tag has an ID equals 1577.
Right.
And then you have a banner tag that says banner, and it's got one attribute that says ID equals 1577. And you know that image is the banner.
Got it.
I mean, like,
instead of just using the word banner, we'll use a code for it.
Well, it's kind of like what you do in HTML, where each HTML tag or element can have an ID associated with it. And so then sometimes you say, sometimes you have like a label tag in HTML and you say for equals this other HTML tag. And so you know that this label goes with this checkbox. Or
okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
And so the same thing could be done here. You could have banner for equals, and then the ID that references mm-hmm. the image tag that is the banner.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's a little more complicated, but at least it gives
you... It's easier in programming at the other end.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, because, you know, you're... Barring that, the only other thing I can... Which, that seems a little convoluted, because the other straightforward way to solve this would just be... to have another attribute on the images tag that says use equal banner
mm-hmm.
or use equal art mm-hmm. for the album art. Or,
mm-hmm.
And to me, once you put that in, then it solves the problems that Russell is having with the semantics of it, where you have now you actually have, you're saying this is a banner.
From a feed creation standpoint, to me, it seems more logical to say, this is a banner, this is a promo video, this is a headshot. You know, there's a million different things I could come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think so. Because then you could also, then you could also tie it to, if we do it this way, and you have the ability to drop a generic image batch into the feed and then give it and then sort of tie it to some use case, that's pretty powerful
mm-hmm.
versus just having a thing that says banner and that's the only thing it can ever do is just be a banner.
Okay.
So
it's like a combo. It's like you have some attributes, but then you also have equals banner.
Yeah. Yeah, attribute, yeah, like a purpose equal banner like or use or blah, blah, blah.
Sounds like something we could argue about on GitHub for a couple months.
Yeah. I think as it stands now, the enhancement stuff is good enough on its own to just adopt that. Mm-hmm. And I think the banner thing is a different discussion.
Okay.
I like adding an attribute because I think that solves everybody's problem,
mm-hmm.
an extra attribute. But I will let Russell tell me where I'm wrong.
Okay. So can we table this for now?
We can. I want to say one more thing.
Okay, Steve.
I'm creating an iPhone. I want to say just throw one more thing in. And it's just another thing about the naming. And that was another aspect of what Russell was saying. Just to give a quick recap on my opinion about naming things is I don't think for developers that name that names of things matter.
Right.
And it's for the exact reason that Dave Weiner says in Rules for Standard Makers. These are all English languages. English language things. Some people don't even read English.
Right.
And they still have the ability to program. They just learn what they look like, and they know what that, and they learn the word when they need to learn it. We also have other things that we deal with on a daily basis. Things like JSON. I mean, what does that even mean?
Thank you.
You know,
good point.
This is all just stuff. Nobody knows what any of this stuff is until they need to know it, and then they go learn it. And yeah. So I just don't think it's a problem.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I feel like that's enough to go on. And then Nathan said he said he's going to throw the purpose attribute in there, into the proposal. And then, we can just like pick that up on GitHub.
Okay. Excellent.
Hey, good work, guys.
Good work. We got through it. I'm closing out the segment. There you go. I'm closing it out.
And now it's time for
some hot namespace. It's all done. Everybody have a cigarette. It's all over. It's done. There we go.
Oh, okay. You just kicked the ball back up in the air. Now we're just reopened it again.
quick update.
Okay.
Just on wallet stuff. Oscar sent us a note. He says he'll have an OAuth type demo this weekend, hopefully. I believe. Yeah. If I read correctly,
is that what he said? Did he say this weekend?
I think he said this weekend. Yeah, I think so.
Chad, don't do that. Don't say 60 minutes left. You're stressing me out.
Yeah, I know. I'm moving things along here. It's like, we got to stop with the stupid namespace talk. I got other things to discuss with you. So Oscar reached out and he says this weekend, we'll see when it's ready. It's all good because that's a demo we're all looking forward to. On that note, do you have a final yet from Zebedee on implementation? Because that's what we're going after here, all these different custodial services that have money transmitter licenses, which, of course, everything's still open. You can still be sovereign, use your own thing, whatever you want to do. That's not a problem. This is to make it easier for the world to get past that 21,000 limit that we seem to have hit with podcasters using a value block. So have you heard from Zebedee?
I heard from Zach over there today. Mm-hmm. And he was just asking if I had set up a developer account and stuff yet, which I have.
Okay.
And he just wants to help me fast track and get all that so I can play with the API. But I have not heard back from them whether they finalized any of their stuff. Right. I think what is happening is I get the impression that they're really trying to figure out how to make this work financially for people.
Yeah, and for them, and for themselves. Oops.
And for themselves, yeah.
Sorry.
Because normally these, I think what they normally deal with, this is all just my impression from what I've heard them say, is I think they're just used to dealing with more like game developers and things that have like a clear business, like monetary plan. Whereas podcast app developers don't.
Yeah. Well, we made that very clear to them. We said, there's no money here. There's very little money. Yeah.
And
okay.
So, but they're doing real work with all this, they have real costs. So I think they're just trying to figure out how to make it accessible to the developers. So that's going to take some time.
Yeah. And we're asking these parties to give us a one sheet so we can just say, here's how you implement it. Which, of course, would come along with some namespace additions, although we kind of have the LNURL name. I think is that already in the value tag? Did we already put that in?
Yeah, it's in there.
Okay. Then we have, staying on the wallets for a second, we had a chat with the folks from LightSpark.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to, run through that?
Yeah, I'll try and explain it. Okay. First of all, it was very interesting because it reminded me so much of calls I used to make when I was trying to sell internet, basically, to companies. And I had the salesperson had just landed at the airport. She's in the car on the call, and then she runs into the conference room, and the two other guys are talking. And then this is all great, and it'll be ready in a week or two. Okay. But in essence, what LightSpark has done is they've created the same type of, what they call it, a YUMA, a universal money address, which is compatible, from what I understand, with LNURL addresses. Stop me if I'm wrong. But the difference is, if you onboard with a YUMA address, universal money address, then you can immediately connect it to your financial institution. And they have in America, they have Bank of America, Chase, and they have some outfit in Brazil. And, you know, that's part of their business is onboarding. And the reason why is they're sitting on top of, I forget the name of the, what was the name of?
Zero Hash.
Zero Hash. Yeah. So they're sitting on top of Zero Hash. So there is a KYC process, but I think it'll probably be a little less dorky, since they're trying to make this, professionalize this for people. It'll be a little less dorky than some of the existing Bitcoin KYC processes are. It'll probably be the same, but it just might be slicker.
So, that thing where you have to send a picture of yourself from your phone holding a sign that says, "My name is Dave Jones."
Yeah, stuff like that. Exactly. So the whole flow is your financial institution through Plaid into, what's that thing called? Their
RTP?
No, you just meant,
Zero Hash?
Zero Hash, and then into the YUMA, and then they're doing the transfer over Lightning, and then the other end, of course, it can go to a Lightning address, or it can go into another YUMA address, which then reverses the flow and goes back up and eventually into your financial institution. So you can just say, I want to send a euro, I want to send a dollar, I want to send X, Y, or Z, and it'll just make it to the other end with minimal fees. They were talking about 0.8% of the transaction. And which I think is another fine solution. A lot of people won't like it because, you know, of the KYC, etc. But
but you can always roll your own.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I like, is it interops with everything else. So it would be a very easy option. And we asked them for the same, you know, can you give us a, and they said they would have some kind of OAuth solution coming in a month, you know, whatever these things. I'm not expecting anything before next year. But
they always take longer than
yeah. It's development. Hello. But I like it because, you know, now we're getting to a place where you make it a lot more accessible for people to just say, oh, okay, so now I can hook this up. I go to, Yuma.me. I register an address and then I do my KYC song and dance. And then I connect it straight to my debit card or my bank account. And I can start sending, if I'm in America, dollars, if I'm in Australia, dollars. Although significantly worth less, in Europe, in the EU, euros. And I think that would be, that's great. I think it's fantastic. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are going to push back. Yes, there's financial stuff in there. But it's all compatible with the sovereign state of the Lightning Network.
Well, my understanding was the flow would be something like this, would be so a YUMA looks like an email address, like a Lightning address, except it has a little dollar sign in the beginning. That's the first character.
Right.
That's how you know it's a YUMA, a universal money address. And so the YUMA thing, like, you would go to yuma.me and then you would go through a process like you do with like Plaid.
In fact, they're literally using Plaid.
Yeah. They're using Plaid to associate the universal money address with a bank account.
Right.
And then you have this second step in what they showed us, where it prompts you to, like, what do you want to be able to do with this connection? Do you want it to, you know, be able to deduct funds, credit funds?
Yeah. Kind of permission, thing. A permission step.
Permissions. Yeah. And so, I mean, just like you do with Plaid. And
well,
you,
like Venmo, it's like connecting like Venmo, it to Venmo. Yeah. It's the same thing as connecting PayPal or Venmo. And remember, PayPal is also now saying that they're going to start accepting Bitcoin and passing it right through in fiat. I don't know if they're going to do Lightning, but I think it's pretty fair to say everyone's moving in this direction. Everybody.
Can you tell me, is that on chain? That's on chain.
I don't know. On chain for sure, but they can't be competitive without offering a Lightning solution. Everyone's offering Lightning now. All the exchanges offer Lightning, up to certain amounts, obviously, for liquidity issues. If they want to be competitive, PayPal will also offer Lightning, which will, and because it's passed through into fiat, that will finally put no agenda on the V for V train, because Dvorak is okay with it.
And where, like, I haven't seen any.
No, there's no announcement yet. That. No, there's no announcement yet.
Oh, okay.
It's they're calling their partners. Because they're and there's two reasons they called. One is, hey, we're going through a whole new link scheme, and pretty soon all your old links will be dead.
Yay!
Yeah, please fix something that wasn't broke.
What? Why would you ever change
I
that?
Don't links know. I don't
not
know.
Not a problem.
It's baffling to me. So they're gonna train. They're gonna train us on what to do. It's like Albie training. We're gonna onboard you into the new system. So the old system apparently will break.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the idea there would be that you would get a Bitcoin, some sort of Bitcoin receiving address, a wallet address, and then anything that comes into that wallet just immediately shows up in your PayPal balance as your local currency.
Correct.
See, we can do on-chain easily with the value block.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, we don't. Yes, we could.
If I'm saying like that should be an option because, it takes a few. It takes a little bit. It takes a few minutes. Can take a couple of hours to verify sometimes, but. I mean,
I'm not against it.
You know, that if it comes to adoption, I mean, on chain to me is fine. If it gets over the adoption threshold.
Eric PP is already scratching his head about what do I do with Helipad now?
Oh, I'm screwed.
Well, fees, and there's a lot of stuff to consider. Timing, depending on what you put in your V-byte fee, is it always going to be fastest? Will you get an option, to say, well, it's 60 sats per V-byte right now. No, please don't send it at this moment. All kinds of things to take into account there, but it can be an option for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
in fact, I would put that under the funding tag. That's where I'd put that.
The funding tag. I think you're right. That's better. You put it under the funding tag because then you can say, okay, I'm going to send you $5,000.
Yes. Well, this is Dvorak's hope. He's like, yeah, we could take Bitcoin. There's always gonna be someone who's going to send us a whole Bitcoin. So, okay, John. Yeah, that's fine. It's going to happen. Yeah. That's good. He hasn't gotten into the micro payment headspace yet, but we'll work on him.
He doesn't understand Bitcoin culture.
No, he doesn't.
That ain't happening.
I had a preliminary call with Clix, CLIX, and we're having another call on Tuesday. And we're looking at them as basically a podcast app. They have a whole bunch of ex-TiVo guys and TV Guide people, and they understand how to promote stuff. So it would be discovery type app. And the cool thing about that is they're in 600,000 hotel rooms. And so we're going to have a call and see if we can get them data. I showed them the tiles.podping.org and their minds were like blown. Like what? So, oh yeah. It's like three podcasts a second are updating here. Like what? You know?
Yeah.
So it was
Pod 2, Russell and Pod 2, they're also just started firing up Pod Pings. So
cool. Yeah, excellent.
Pod Ping is still growing. And Alex's Pod Ping daemon just keeps clicking along. I've let it run for, I guess, a week now.
Nice.
This thing's solid as a rock.
That's in Rust? That's the Rust deal.
It's in Rust.
Yeah.
And he's adding a bunch of features. He hasn't opened it. He has not opened up the repo yet, but he's going to once he feels it's solid.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the features he's adding is a direct to object storage. So you could store these things it'll just write straight to S3.
In the folder structure, right? Year, month, day. Yeah, cool.
Yep.
I only have one other thing, we were talking about, you know, the specialized platform players stuff. I've had some more thoughts on that, but do you want to do the notebook LM stuff first?
I don't have a lot on that. I was just like, I guess the reason I threw it on my notes is because I had a reason to resurrect my Midjourney account the other day because I was just,
you were looking, you needed an image. And so you turned to computer generated imagery, CGI, not AI, CGI.
I turned to CGI. I needed a decent logo for this side project that we're doing because I can't look at this piece of crap anymore.
I saw it.
Yeah. And so So I was like, okay, well, I started playing around with different things. And, it just struck me how sort of crazy all this is. As you use it, you realize you see entropy at work.
Entropy?
Because the idea, I think it's, was it the second law of thermodynamics? All systems run down. You know, all energy goes towards zero. you can extract sort of like extrapolate from that this idea that entropy is that idea that all things go from order to chaos
over time. Yes.
if you leave your car sitting on the road and never touch it, 1,000 years from now, it's going to be just a pile of rust.
Yes.
Everything runs, all systems is eventually run down.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can just see this, whole process at work with these generative AI tools. The only thing keeping them from just dying of their own entropy is the fact that they're being guardrailed and propped up by people doing things to them.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So like a good example that I heard a long time ago was, this is sort of an argument against evolution, meaning an evolution, that term being defined as ascent through modification, not descent, ascent. So that you get progressively more and more complicated organisms that can do more and more things through a process of evolutionary ascent.
Right. But it's devolizing. It's going down.
Yeah. And the argument against that is, imagine you have an airplane, and stacked in that airplane, you have 50,000 index cards.
Yeah.
And you push all those index cards out of the plane, and somehow between 20,000 feet and the ground, if they all organize themselves to spell out Adam Curry on the interstate.
Okay.
That we all know instinctively that that would never happen, you know, but the evolutionary argument is, oh, well, you just need to give it more time. So instead of at 20,000 feet, you go up to 35,000 feet.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just put more data centers in, more power, more chips, more yeah, GPUs, exactly. More nuke power. Yeah.
Or you just do it more times instead of doing it once. You do the plain index card thing 2 billion times. Well, it doesn't matter how many times you do it. You're never going to get a quote from Shakespeare out of index cards falling on the ground from 20,000 feet. It's just not, because all systems run down. We just know that this is the case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way this works with generative AI as well. Like every time you hit that, so there's this button on Midjourney where like you put in your prompt. And most of the time, like out of the gate, like out of your first prompt, you kind of get something decent. Mm-hmm. Like it's pretty good. Obviously, because it's been trained on real art. You know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It's been trained on other people's effort, you know, so you get something pretty good, but then you have these little buttons. So you get like four, you get a quad matrix that has like four quadrants in it, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you say, okay, I want this quadrant 3. I like this image. So give me variations of this image. So you can say, and it'll run it back through the model again and try to come up with variants of this. The more times you keep doing that, this thing gets worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Like it's never better than the first time you did it. And so I was thinking that you really only get one shot at this whole thing because, you know, we talked about model collapse before where it's sort of, you know, it's eating its own dog food and it starts to sort of like these language models or these generative models begin to incestuously incorporate their own output into their training.
Right. Incestuously is the right term, which you get very weak children that can't walk.
Right. And so this whole thing reminded me of a discussion I think I heard on ATP where I ended up finding it on Tom's Hardware where they were taught where Apple Intelligence, the forthcoming Apple Intelligence, somebody leaked the prompts that they're using under the covers.
Yeah.
So for each one of these use cases, like, they have one use case that says, Apple, it's in Apple Photos where you can say, you know, hey Siri, tell me a story from these photos, and it'll like create us this story with a music and all this kind of stuff that goes with your photos. Well, the underlying prompt that does that, somebody found it in the beta. They reverse engineered the code and found the prompt. And under the covers, what Apple is doing is they're just sending a textual prompt to the local model under the covers. And the prompt they're sending to the local model on device is this: here are the story guidelines you must obey. The story should be about the intent of the user. The story should contain a clear arc. The story should be diverse. That is, do not overly focus the entire story on one very specific theme or trait. Do not write a story that is religious, political, harmful, violent, sexual, filthy, or in any way negative, sad, or provocative. But, you know, what if you...
So those are the pre-prompts. That's the setup where you set the model up for the input from the user.
Yes, exactly. And so basically you're telling the model ahead of time, you're not allowed to do anything that is to write the story that is religious. What if you're a Muslim and you went to Mecca?
No Mecca for you.
You're just like out of luck. I mean, like, sorry. I mean, what is it going to say? Is it going to say like, the sand was beautiful on this trip. Like what is it going to say? You know? This goes back to the, like, you're just trying to put guardrails on a process that is naturally tied intricately to an entropic process. And you're trying to keep it propped up
by doing that. So not letting it devolve by keeping the guardrails in place.
And there's another prompt that says,
I got to find this article, by the way. You got to send that to me.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. There's another prompt that says, that's what it is. It says, do not produce, it gives a whole bunch of parameters. Here's what I want you to do. And at the end of it, it says, please give me please make the output valid JSON. Do not use bad JSON. This is the point we've come to where we're having to tell the computer, don't give me what I don't want. I mean, this all feels very silly to me.
Wow.
Have you heard dead internet theory? Do you know this?
Yes. Yes. We're only talking to bots at the end of the day and there's no one real anymore.
I mean, I don't think that's very crazy.
No, I think we're already there to a degree. I see it all the time on X. I'm like, okay, that's a bot. That's a bot. That's a bot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything with a username with a whole string of numbers, suspicious. You're probably a bot.
And I think the thing I didn't realize about that whole theory or whatever you want to call it is that supposedly part of the theory is that this all happened, crossed the tipping point in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
There was this date where it became, there was more bots online interacting with each other than humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, I can see that. I bet you that's true.
To take it to podcasting. Comics or Blogger threw the transcript from, the most recent No Agenda episode into Notebook LM, and those two voices, the only voices they have apparently, created a summary of that episode, which was actually quite interesting. And so it was a 3.5-hour episode. They created a 8-minute summary, and there were some really funny mistakes in there. But in general, it's like, well, you know, if you want to hear a summary of what we talked about, and it was very complimentary, these guys are great. You know, they don't just take everything at face value, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. So it was nice to kind of get that evaluation. And I can see where people will listen to the, in fact, there's a service out there that someone sent me called, what is it called? The auto-generated podcast, the automateddaily.com. So he creates, I think, 4 or 5 different podcasts. It's all automated every single day. General news, tech news, AI news, hacker news. And it creates, out of the links from sources, it creates a podcast. It's all the same voice. But, you know, honestly, just listening to that for 4 minutes, and if you just want to be informed about a topic and you just want to listen to it, it's actually not that bad. But you know, it's just because someone's reading it to me, it does some editorializing and makes some choices about, you know, if something is good, bad, on edge, out there, you know, it makes some assumptions and puts that in. But you know, to me, it's like, that's not why I'm listening to podcasts. You know, I mean, people just want to consume information, and there's a lot of people who just want, and by the way, if you listen to podcasts at 1.5 speed, you're going to love these AI voices. It's perfect for you. You're going to flood your brain with shit. Enjoy.
Have fun.
Yeah. But I think it's only better because, you know, personality and humanity, people always recognize that. They always do. And they're going to want that and value that more. But I think we can look forward to a lot of automated podcasts from sources. That will feed people information. So you listen to the Notebook LM summary, 8-minute summary of the No Agenda podcast. Like, oh, you know, okay, I know what they talked about.
Do you have that? Can you play it?
CSB.
Because I haven't heard this.
Yeah. CSB posted it. Hold on a second.
If you played it yesterday on No Agenda, I didn't.
No. John actually said he wanted to hear more of those wacky podcasts. I said, oh, really? You want to hear more of that? Here we go.
All right, everyone, buckle up. Because today, we're really diving deep into something pretty wild. I mean, this sounds like it could be straight out of a spy movie, but sadly, it's the real deal.
Sounds intriguing. What's the topic today?
We're talking asymmetrical warfare. But not the kind you typically expect. Okay, more along the lines of
this is pretty interesting because you can hear breath.
Oh yeah, no, they've got ums in there. No, the voices are well done. I'm impressed with the voices. Although this back and forth, you know, it's like in a podcast, you have to have someone filling every single space with yeah, okay, yeah, interesting.
Including gadgets and international intrigue.
Exploding gadgets. Now that's something you don't hear every day.
You got that right. We're taking a deep dive into a recent episode of the.
You got that right, Bob. Yeah.
Oh, agenda pod.
Yeah, but listen for a second.
Episode 1696, to be precise. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak.
By the way, perfect pronunciation of Dvorak. I've not heard that in an AI so far.
You know, those guys who can sniff out a media narrative from a mile away.
I know them. They can sniff out a media narrative from a mile away.
Now, where did it get that from?
What's interesting is how, you know, is it from, obviously it's from words and phrases. That's why I said they're generally quite positive.
It's got their fingers on the pulse of what's really going on, even if it's a little out there sometimes. What did they unearth this time?
Well, this episode aired on September 19th, 2024, and let me tell you, it's been on my mind ever since. It all starts with some really strange
passages. You need a life.
That I could do with that. Okay, so have you ever used GarageBand?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so you know how in the drummer, the virtual drummer, how you can dial it up from like a 1 to 10 of how much you want that guy to freak out and play fills and stuff between notes.
That's exactly what it is. It's that algo. Yes. Philip.
We need this. Yeah. We need this. Yes.
So it doesn't give you any of the nuance, any of the details, certainly none of the humor. Cause I know that there's humor in our show. But I can see where we have, a large segment of the population, and they'll get bored of it, but who are just starved for info. Feed me information. That's why people listen at 1.5. They want to get more information, more. So we can listen to another podcast and listen more and listen more. I need more. And they're going to explode. Right. It's info gluttony. info gluttony. That's it. It's really what it is. Information gluttony. Gluttony. Well, there we go.
The reason, those are the same people, I think, that think along the lines of what caused me to originally bring this up about the entropy aspect is because I think nerds fall victim to this. All of us do in the nerd space is
nerd space.
Is we fall victim to this idea that the more, as long as the algorithm is good, then the more information you feed to it, the better the output. That is not correct.
Right.
The more information is just like more weather or more of anything. Mm-hmm. The more of it you have doesn't produce better outcomes. It produces more entropy. The more energy you put in, the more there is, the higher the fall off. Mm. So it's just like taking that airplane full of index cards and going higher in the air. What you're going to get is not a higher likelihood of a good outcome. You're going to get a higher likelihood of broader chaos. And I think we just fall victim to that sort of thinking because we think that, because I think we're lulled into this from, we see AI doing what it's doing and it produces impressive results sometimes, but we think it's because we fed it so much more volume of information that it got quote unquote smarter.
Yeah.
But what happened is the guardrails got tighter or the information was actually reduced to a smaller set where it had less to contend with. I think this whole idea that more gets you better results is just, I think it's fit from a physics standpoint and a metaphysics standpoint. It's just not true. Like the more information, let's say that Twitter, instead of, I don't know what, how many posts it's got at any given time. Let's say 150 billion posts. The idea that instead of 150 billion,
300 billion, it would be that much better.
That the search somehow would be better.
Yeah, no.
No, that's not true. It would be worse.
Yeah.
Same with podcasting. If you just had more podcasts, you would have better like be able to find, we know this is not true. It makes everything harder, not better. Yeah.
So I want to talk about that because I have some thoughts about our previous conversation, and I'm just looking at the clock because everyone's all jacked up and nervous about having to get you out on time. It's very unnerving. It really is. You know, people are posting, "Oh, only 30 minutes left. Oh my God, we got to hurry up. Got to move this along. Got to get this train." So I also want to play a song. It's a short song. It's a real short song. Only 2:47. Go! We got to get the song going. I was on the 33rd episode of Into the Dorfel verse earlier this week, which was fantastic. I love those guys. And then they played me two versions of a song, and I had to choose which one I liked better, which is like, dude, can you put someone on the spot? That's really, really hard to do. But they, Sir TJ the Wrathful, did get it posted up, and everything's good in time for the board meeting. So I want to make sure that we play it because it is a banger. And remember, you can boost these songs live as we're doing everything here in the boardroom, or go back and boost them on your modern podcast app. Here's the Dorfels. This is Disco Swag on Podcasting 2.0.
Spark from across the room, and I never make the first move, but it's different with you. Out here on my own, won't you dance with me? It's 100 proof, give me a shot. Come on, take my hand, won't you set me free? Show me all the moves you got. Wrap my hands around your waist, lips so close that I can taste. Show me what I need to do.
Show me what to do.
Feel the beat inside, take me for a ride. Show me what I miss before I mess with you. So move with me slow, and I'll take you where you want to go.
Out here on my own, won't you dance with me? 100 proof, give me a shot. Come on, take my hand, won't you set me free? Show me all the moves you got. Show me what you got, girl. Show me what you got. Show me what you got, girl. Show me what you got.
Dorfels, Disco Swag. And that's what I thought at first as well. Boardroom, I thought, wow, that's like a Bruno Mars song.
Is that TJ singing?
No, I don't think so.
33.
Sorry.
That's a bad, no. Whoa, what happened?
No, that's Sir Spencer is boosting. He boosted 33,333.
No, wow, he hit the magic number.
Yeah. They had another less busy mix, which I thought sounded too much like Bruno Mars, but I would recommend Bruno Mars record this song.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Get the, yeah, that's what that would put some coin in their pocket. That'd be nice.
but he has to only accept Bitcoin.
Yeah, well, obviously. Okay, we don't have a lot of time.
This sucks. No, I hate this. I hate this.
Well, it's okay. I mean,
never pre-announce this again.
Well, but it would be in the back of my mind anyway. You know, you blew your wad on images.
Well, I mean, how could you not?
Whoa, hello. Yeah, the penny dropped on that one. So I was listening to PWR. Pod News Weekly Review. Power. And so yeah, you haven't heard it yet?
No.
No. But so they were talking about podcast portals, and which is kind of what we were talking about, you know, on the last show. And it was based upon a quote from Rachel Maddow. And I like that it's based on a quote from Rachel Maddow, because I'm not a fan, really not a fan. But that kind of pushes me to think about, okay, how can we make something that Rachel Maddow would like? And I'll just repeat her statement in The Hollywood Reporter when asked about what's the problem with podcasting. And she said, none of the apps are great. We don't just need curation and charts. We need rational organization and a meritocratic way for the best and most relevant shows and episodes to circulate efficiently. It's hard for me to understand why we're still saddled with such uniformly clunky, unintuitive user interfaces at this point. Now, I do not believe that she actually wants a meritocratic way for the best and most the best shows to pop up, because if Tucker Carlson popped up, she'd throw up on her podcast app.
And yeah, none of us actually want that. None of us want meritocracy. We want our stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, all the big apps, you know, I'm sure Spotify tries to do this. You know, YouTube obviously has their recommendation engine. No one within the sound of my voice will ever be able to create a per user algo that's running nonstop and be able to afford it and, you know, and somehow magically put things in the right place. But as I was saying about podcast apps, maybe it's time for some apps, maybe you keep your existing app, maybe you make a second version, which means you can keep the same basic code base. But based on my general feeling, the future of media is small. Is it not an idea that some podcast apps specialize? Now, you still have everything available, but why wouldn't, just like, you know, all cars get you from A to B. Yet lots of people buy Ferraris for certain reasons. Some people buy electric vehicles. I mean, there's all different. They all have the same basic functionality, and you can put people in it and take them somewhere, people and stuff. Just like there's lots of cable channels for different things. We got sports channels. Is it not an idea to build an app around a community? It can be location as well, by the way. Or around a genre, and really try and build that out to delight one segment of the audience. And I'm going back to Fountain. They have chosen, it's a very successful app. They have chosen Nostr and Bitcoin. And that choice has alienated a certain percentage of people, but it has delighted another segment of people.
Same with TrueFans, that they've chosen specific to focus on micropayments, which has alienated some people but delighted others.
Wavelake, they have an app which is, for all intents and purposes, a podcast app, but they really feature music. LN Beats is a podcast app that features music and podcasts that play music. You see where I'm going? So if your interest is in sports, why not have an app that highlights sports podcasts? You know, make some bold decisions. Recommend. It has to be something you're interested in as a developer. Everyone has an interest. So if it's technology, wow, I think I would even open up a separate app just to get to a technology offering that says, hey, the latest episode of ATP is out, and I'd like to know who is listening to that and what those people have to say. You know, this is where maybe the Sam's activity streams come into play. Make that the entrance into your app, and people will probably use it for other podcasts as well. But in general, people listen to a certain kind of podcasts, and it may not be a bad idea to create, you know, Rachel Maddow, she really wants an app that features her, features a whole bunch of liberals. You know, you want to suppress certain things, but you want to build a community, just like Mastodon. I have a podcastindex.social login, and I actually block a whole bunch of others. In fact, I block some specific that are related to No Agenda. I don't want people posting to me about No Agenda stuff on podcasts in X.Social. I have a different Mastodon for that. And I go and I visit both equally every single day. And, you know, depending on my mood, it seems like such a logical step for someone to make because we have enough boxy cars. We've all got a car and it looks a little different on the outside, but it's not really appealing to me, to the kind of vehicle I want to be seen in and seen as using. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think about this in like a on the ground term. Like if somebody makes a podcast app, they could then make, instead of having one app, let's say they did something crazy and made five apps, each with a specific focus.
Well, why make five? Why make one that you know something about? Everybody has that. That's the mistake. You know, I think, okay, if there was let's keep it very small and very simple. If there was a podcast app you can get anything you want in it, okay? You can search and you can subscribe to anything you want. But when I open that up, it's saying, wow, the latest Upbeats just dropped. Here's a special project Curry is doing another Boostagram ball. Here's a special curated Ainsley Costello album that is, Detox Radio, whatever it's called, focuses on music podcasts that have value for value music. I would open that specifically for all the recommendations and all the beauty that's in there. Now, maybe down, and it should federate with some other app, you know, the sports app. So I could still get user stuff, but make it a community-based app for a particular topic or genre or something.
Okay.
You know, we all use different apps. And people who use podcast, they're listening. I like listening to Lex Friedman, Joe Rogan, you know, long form podcast. Make it that. Here's the latest guest. Here's who's coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I remember back a long time ago. I don't even remember what year this would have been. Maybe, I don't know. It had to have been very early in podcasting. You had radio personalities like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, these types.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they had each had their own app.
Mm-hmm.
And you would install the app, and I mean it was just a podcast app.
Yeah.
But it was their app, and you would install the app, and that's how you listened to their show.
Yes.
If you wanted to listen to it on your phone or whatever.
Right.
Or on their website, you know, that kind of thing. And so this, like there, we've lost that idea. And I think it made a lot of sense to lose that idea because it's like, well, I don't want to have to go to five different places to listen to five different things. But then, since we lost that idea, we also lost some of the benefits of that.
Well, without disclosing, because it's too early yet, the project we're working on, we're doing exactly that. We're doing exactly what I described on a local basis. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. It's delighting me. It's delighting me. I'm like, this is so cool. This is an area that I have interest in, and I'm looking at all these podcasts and there's curation going on. There's people recommending things to me, entities, and I'm delighted in it. And I know when I'm in this mode, which is often I'll use this app, which in this case is, you know, it's for all intents and purposes, it's an app. I'm just saying that we have all these apps and they're all doing the same thing with some variations of style and look, but it's an inbox. And I've already been through my issues on that. I think it's time. And here's someone literally saying, how come I can't have an app that basically shows my stuff, because I'm Rachel Maddow, and I want relevant stuff and episodes, and also episodes, not just here's another podcast you should listen to. Oh, this is the late curated. They're looking for someone who's into it to create a universe that, yes, you'd need some meritocracy, but do you really? I mean, someone, if you're a developer and you have a, if you have a hobby, a genre or something that you're interested in, why not create an app that highlights that stuff? You're already liking it. So you will be perfectly suited to.
So that's.
Go ahead.
That's like. It's like that idea we talked about a few minutes ago where the idea that you put more, you make more available, you put more in, you get better results out. Sometimes that's in, like, that's just not the case. Like an app, and it, like, so True Fans, when True Fans launched, he made a decision to launch, I think with like, was it like 5,000 podcasts or something like that? It was a very small number initially at the very, at the beginning. And, there was something really refreshing about that.
Yeah, I can see True Fans being fans. Okay, so I want to be a fan, and in this case of artists, because Sam's got concert tickets and merch and all this stuff. Focus on that. Mm-hmm. Focus only on that. Be excel in that area. And people can always, you can always say, oh, I also want to subscribe to, you know, to Tucker Carlson. Okay, fine, you can do that. But getting something that excites people to use it, I think they will flock to a podcast like that. If there was a podcast app that only showed video podcasts, nothing else, I would probably use it. Like, oh, this is where I get my videos.
Oh, I would, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, like medium centric podcast apps, like we only do music.
Yeah,
we only do centric video.
How about audiobooks? I mean, there's nothing that says you audiobook, can't just have an audiobook podcast app. Why not? What do you got to lose?
I agree.
Backslash.
I agree. I think backslash.
So
no, I agree. I like. Yeah. No. I think this is good. Something has to break the mold, I think, because we've just got so many apps that look the same. And I think it's, you know, Oscar did something different, by going all in on the Bitcoin and Nostr side of things. Mm-hmm. True Fans did something different with the PWAs and Activity Pub and all these kinds of things. Like there's some of, I think if you're wanting to break into some of these incumbent areas, I think you just have to do something different.
Well, you know,
because people are habitual. People just are if nothing changes to break you out of that mental model, if you don't see a different thing, you're just going to keep plugging away with the same thing. Pocket Cast, Overcast, Apple Podcast.
Yes, you know? And so Rachel Maddow is very liberal left political talk. So you don't just want to do an MSNBC app. You want to do all kinds of liberal left political talk and run your own algo on what, or put your own personality into it, whatever you want to bubble to the top, you know, and have your users be able to create playlists and of episodes and all kinds of things that they, and you will get a big audience. I think much bigger than I'm here, everything for everybody app.
If somebody created today a podcast app that was called, Progcasts, you know, that was all a bunch of progressive liberal shows, and that's all it was, and they released that on the App Store, it would be immediately successful.
Yes.
You would have 5 million downloads within 6 months. Because that's where you're breaking the mold you're sort of like leaning towards this thing that is our, it, that people are, I think, okay, maybe that's part of, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's that culture is going in these certain directions. Like it's been going, you know, like obviously the political divides have been getting starker. They've, you know, if it's a spectrum from, if it's even a spectrum, I don't think it is, but if it's a left-right spectrum, you know, you got people are going harder left, harder right.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just because they're trying to define, they're trying to carve out their place in all this, in all of this, in the midst of an ocean of information that, that just seems to be drowning them. And so they're like, okay, I'm hard left, but it could just be a mental response, a psychological response to say, I need space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set up my camp over here in this segment of the social of society, because it's too big. It's too much. I'm getting inundated all the time and I need space. And it, you know, like, cause we're all carving out these pieces of the world for ourselves. And if you sort of lean toward that with a podcast app and say, oh, okay, well, you're hanging out over here. Well, here's this thing. Well, some people take that refuge in sports. Like, yep, you said,
exactly. Sports, they gambling. Sports. I mean, yeah. You name it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the No Agenda community is the same way. I mean, yep. that's a community that has carved out sort of like, you know, like a borders for itself, where it's like, here's where, you know, you can list off a dozen shows that are No Agenda related yep. shows. And yep. it's just like, it's,
yep.
That could be the same thing.
I'm going to thank some people so I can get you out kind of on time.
Okay.
By the way, very bad idea for everyone to keep posting how many minutes left.
I'm so stressed right now. y'all got to stop it.
I'm stressed too. 3,000 sats from a Chris you know. He says, on the topic of getting away from Mailbox Zero podcast apps, I'd give anything for a podcasting 2.0 app that was exactly like an inbox. Move through the queue with swipe actions, quickly assigned episodes to folders, i.e. playlists, mail rules based on sender, text in the title or show notes. Get close, but none achieve this. Well, that's another tactic. That's not exactly what I was talking about. I don't want it either.
I don't want any of that. I want a big stream of things coming by. And if something catches my eye, I click it and I listen to it. Yep. If I happen to miss something that I would have liked, I'm going to depend on somebody in my community to send it to me later.
33,333 from Sir Spencer. Love that disco swag. He says the Dorfels have been at the forefront of the DIY DMU scene, and we love it. DMU for decentralized music.
Jen, stop it.
Boobery with 3333. Does anyone else ever get that itch in the back of their throat that only inevitable heat death of the universe could scratch? Yes.
Every day.
333 from Salty Crayon. Keep helipad, Eric PP. Yes, of course he will. 17,776 from Blueberry. Big Freedom Boost. MP4's artwork would be amazing. The resolution of the art would be amazing. Clear your schedule, by the way, for Sunday, September 22nd. Tune in after No Agenda to catch the Satellite Skirmish, Autumn Rust, a Day Glow Value for Value Battle Royale, new bands, new MCs, new boost animations. Boost the bands and crew directly and watch Lit at liveislit.com. Yes. Well, there's a whole nother app I would use for that, for a community like that. These laughs, 321. Yep. He says, October surprise coming soon. Yes. Mike Dell, 1701, Star Trek boost, listening on my new flip phone, LLAP. What does LLAP mean? LLAP. I don't know what that means yet.
My new flip phone, Lou.
Yeah. 3,000 from Chris, know. You know, has anyone considered coinos.io as a podcaster wallet? Sign up is just choosing a username. No email needed even. Open source, so someone could add in KeySend or use the Lightning address they give you, and a Nostra wallet connects like Albi uses. Custodial, but super easy. Slick PWA. Can also send someone a pre-funded wallet link that just works. I'll have to take a look at that. I have no idea what that is. 6341 from Chimp. Life is serious. Life is depressing. Embrace the void. Okay.
Jeez. Holy crap.
And then we got a couple of test boosts, 1,000 from Chad F, who was boosting the depressing song, Nate Donovan. Don't worry. 1234 from Dreb Scott. Boosts are failing to the boost bot. Figured, yeah, we fixed that during the show. We opened up a channel. You just run out of liquidity, so the boost bot is back. 1234 from Dreb Scott, boosting McTest boost. And I think, did you get the Pastor Combsy boost? You might not have that one.
Yeah, let me go check.
I'll read it because that's just before the delimiter. Okay. 3333 from Pastor Combsy. He says, God be with you, brothers. Pastor Combsy here. I'm sure I've heard from others, but Fountain has been basically unusable since the update. I know they're working hard, but it's been really hard to stick with it. Audio constantly stops, and that's if you can get it to even play. Workaround has even to delete all episodes, uninstall, then reinstall, even using the test flight version isn't working. Needless to say, it's super tedious. Currently using Fountain to boost and Podverse to listen. Hashtag growing pains. Yes, these are very tough times. We're seeing the same thing with Marco, with Overcast. This is very difficult when you do a big update on an app. So stay with it. Give him some grace.
Yeah, Oscar sent us a message saying that, I mean, it was basically a perfect storm for him. They did a big update. That update had some bugs, and so they went and they fixed the bugs, but then in the meantime they deprecated one of the libraries, one of the Ooh. Like audio libraries that he was using, and they wouldn't, and so he's like having to, if I understood him correctly, he's having to in a mad dash recode part of his audio engine from scratch.
Oh yeah, that's horrible.
I mean, he's going as fast as he can. He sounded stressed.
Mike Dell clarifies, LLIP, live long and prosper. Flip phone is a Cat course. S22. Oh, yes. That's a very robust flip phone.
We've got some PayPals.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the guys at Buzzsprout and the girls there, too. They all pitched in and they sent us $1,000.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Keeping the 2.0 chimney smoking. Thank you. Thank you, Buzzsprout. Thank you very much. We need smoke coming out of the chimney.
Pope here.
That's right.
It's all white smoke.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much, very much.
Gene Liverman sent us $5, and he is a new subscriber. He did automatic payment.
Oh, well, he needs to be defragmented. Yes. All right, welcome to the defragmenter.
Is your defragmenter fully charged? Because I think you need to use it again.
Yeah, hold on. It's plugged in. Go for it.
Okay, it's Oystein Berha. $5 a month, automatic payment.
You've been defragmented.
Ah, thank you, Oystein. Appreciate that.
Did I say that name right? Was that
a decent pronunciation? Oystein Berha. Yeah, Oystein Berha.
Berha.
Berha. Berha.
Berha. Okay. Lost my place. Where am we at? Where are we at with boostergrams? Oh, I got to resort. This is the boardroom's
fault. This is stress. You're stressed, man. I know you're stressed.
Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic. The sad truth is that we've been conditioned to use apps on mobile devices. PWAs just do cut it when trying to onboard so many people today. Maybe one day they will, but that day doesn't seem to be today. I'm really glad True Fans is going to offer apps so as to make it accessible to the masses.
All right.
Yep. True. Genonymous 6969 through Fountain says, just saying.
Thank you. Okay.
Sir Brian of London 11948 through Castomatic. He says, boosting from Hive Fest in Split, Croatia.
Ooh.
Boost.
Hive Fest.
A Croatian boost. Yes, I like it. I can't believe you made me think about coming in through Rachel Maddow entrance hole. Brian.
Sorry.
Stop. Come on. We're gonna have to censor Brian.
Yeah, really.
Randall Black, 56 sats out of 1111 at Satchel Richards. He says, Brad Joner joining the value verse. Brad Joner?
Oh, yes. That was Brad the song Joner. We played.
Yeah. Joining the value verse is huge. Great award-winning Canadian artist now just gets CD Baby to not flag songs in V4V on YouTube for copyright strikes. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting,
go
indeed.
Go podcasting!
And Gene Bean, 2222 again through Castomatic. He says, Dave, It's okay not to be on call 24/7, 365. We will all survive if you take time off for self-help.
Self-help. That said,
I've never felt less healthy than I do right now.
Really?
That said, that was hyperbole, but the stress. I've completely. I'm holding my hand in front of the boardroom IRC.
Yes.
That said, thanks for looking into the aggregator issue rapidly. Thinking about long-term sustainability, how can we make you not the only one who's able to fix some of these wacky things? That's good. That's a discussion.
Bring back the chocolate beef milkshakes. That's the only way to fix that problem.
Yeah, so I can have more power. That's the answer.
Good
power.
One. Good one. Power.
Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter, 24,000 sats.
Nice.
Through Fountain, says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Today, I would like to recommend Hypercatcher, a podcast player app for iPhone and iPad. Search in App Store for Hypercatcher, written together without space in the middle. Or visit www.hypercatcher.com. This app can generate transcripts for podcasts that don't have them for free on device. What's very helpful as transcripts can be uploaded, for example, to LLM like Claude, an AI assistant from Anthropic, or ChatGPT from OpenAI for summarizing and data query purpose. Yo, CSB.
It should just have in your podcast app a podcast daily that just summarizes all the podcasts you're not going to listen to anymore. It's perfect.
If I could have a podcast app that, after I haven't listened to a podcast in maybe 3 days, if it would just remove catch it from up. My list
give me a catch up and remove all old episodes. Well, there you go.
A digest, you know,
digest cast.
Yeah. Cause you remember you have those things where it's like on this mailing list, do you want to get every message in your inbox?
Yeah,
or a daily digest?
There you go. Tried and
give
true.
Give me the digest, baby.
Tried and true.
We got some monthlies. We got, New Media Productions, that's Rob and Todd, $30.
Thank you.
Timothy Voice, $10. Michael Hall, $5.50. Thank you, Michael. Jeremy Gerds, $5. And Satan's Lawyer, $5. Yeah,
the advocate is always in the house. We have our eye on you. Right. We got our eye on you. All right, brother. Get out. Go back to the mill. Back to the grind.
Okay, I'm out.
Yeah, I got you in last 7 minutes. Not too bad. Have a great weekend, brother.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right, thank you very much, Boardroom. We'll be back next week with more podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Nerd fight! Nerd fight! Nerd fight.